again tonight. We appreciate your presence very much, especially the visitors. We welcome you, and we're happy that you're here. After singing these songs, they liven us up and wake us up, I'm sure, after being tired today. And it's a great privilege that we have to assemble to worship God. I'd like to study tonight about a man, Saul of Tarsus, became Paul the Apostle. And we talked this morning about repentance, a change. I don't know of anyone that changed any more than Saul and Paul did. He was called Saul of Tarsus first, and later he was called the Apostle Paul. But we want to study about from Saul the persecutor to Paul the persecuted. In Galatians 1 and verse 23, it says, "But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy." And so here, Christian said, Paul formerly persecuted the church or Christians, but he now preaches the faith that he once tried to destroy. And so he made a big change in his life. We want to consider Saul of Tarsus, his birth. He was freeborn. He was a Roman citizen in Tarsus, a Roman citizen, and this was a great honor back at that time. They had certain privileges that those who were not citizens didn't have. In Acts 1 and verse 39, but Paul said, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to the people." And so he was a Jew, he is from Tarsus. He's the son of a Pharisee. In Acts 23 and verse 6, Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees, the other Pharisees. He cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I'm being judged." The Pharisees were a strict sect of the Jews. He was the son of a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. We notice his bloodline. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. There were 12 tribes. We notice in Philippians 3 and verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. And so he was circumcised the eighth day, as the Jews were, and he was of the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin alone with Judah remained loyal to David's throne. 10 of the tribes left and followed Jeroboam. All the other tribes left and went with Jeroboam. We notice Saul's upbringing. He was reared or raised in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel. In Acts 22 and verse 3, he says, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, was zealous toward God as you all are today." And so he was brought up in the city, in Jerusalem, at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a doctor of the law. He was considered the greatest teacher at that time. Saul had been taught the strictness of the law. We notice Saul's record. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In Philippians 3 and 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee. This meant that he had maintained his Jewish language, the mother tongue Hebrew, and customs and the manner of life. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee, a member of the most strict sect of the Judaism. He stood firm by the traditions of the fathers. The Pharisees were held in high esteem by the people. He excelled in the law's religion above many of his peers. He was very zealous of the traditions of his fathers. In Galatians 1, verse 14, he wrote, Paul did, "And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous for the traditions of my father." And so under the Jewish religion, he was a very successful man. He could probably have been well off if he'd remained there. Concerning his outward righteousness, no man brought reproach upon Saul's manner of life, or his conduct, or ceremonial and moral keeping of the law. Yes, he was a man. He stood for what he believed to be right. He was so zealous for the Jews' religion that he persecuted the church of Jesus in order to protect Judaism from departure from the traditions of the fathers. He thought that they were right, and he fought against Christianity. All things considered, a more ideal Jew was not to be found than Saul of Tarsus. We consider Saul the Pharisee, the profile of a persecutor. He's first mentioned in connection with the death of Stephen. Stephen, who was a faithful Christian, and he was stoned to death. And Saul consented to the death of Stephen. He guarded the outer garments of the witnesses who cast the first stones. In Acts 5, verse 58 and 59, "And they cast him out of the city," that is Stephen, "and stoned him. The witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." In Acts 8 and 1 says, "Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout all the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." And so Saul of Tarsus consented to the death of Stephen, a faithful Christian. There was great persecution against the church. Saul attacked the church at Jerusalem as a wild animal ravages his prey. By authority of the chief priest, Saul or Paul persecuted the church at Jerusalem. In Acts 26 and verse 10, he says, "This I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them." And so here was Saul going into the homes of Christians and bringing them out. And they were arrested. And when they were put to death, he cast his vote against them. He approved of Christians being put to death. In Galatians 1, verse 13, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." And so Saul was trying to destroy Christianity, Christ, and the church. He ravaged, destroyed, and laid waste the church of Christ, dragging men and women out of their houses, binding them, and committing them to prison. And so Christians no doubt considered him as a terrible person. No doubt many of them had fear of Saul. Acts 8 and 3 says, "For as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committed them to prison." And so here was dragging Christians, men and women, and committing them to prison. In every synagogue, Saul beat and compelled those who believed to blaspheme, to speak against Christ. In Acts 26 and verse 11, "And I punished them often in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, being exceedingly enraged against them. I persecuted them even to foreign cities." Just think of a man doing this to Christians, compelling them to blaspheme against Christ. When Christians were put on trial, Saul cast his vote for their condemnation and demanded the death sentence against them. Saul pursued fleeing Jewish Christians. Yes, after he had finished ravaging the church at Jerusalem, to the extent that the Christians were all scattered abroad, except the apostles, Saul still breathed out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of Christ. In Acts 8 and verse 1, Saul was consenting to his death at that time. A great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Saul was exceedingly mad in a raging fury against them. He persecuted them even to foreign cities to which they fled. And so there was so much persecution there in Jerusalem that the Christians were scattered. And they went to other cities. And he followed them and he went after them that he might take them to prison. In Acts 26 and verse 11, I punished them often in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. In Acts 11, 19 says, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. And so those who were scattered were preaching the word to those who were lost. Then he went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of that way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He obtained authority and commission to go to do so, according to Acts 26 and 12. In Acts 9, verses 1 and 2, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were that way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul's persecution of the church was to him a conscientious duty and obligation. He thought he was doing the right thing. Yes, he truly thought that he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. In Acts 26, 9 and 10, indeed, I myself thought that I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Saul lived in all good conscience. Yes, think of taking men and women, casting them into prison, and help putting them to death and causing some to blaspheme Christ. But his conscience didn't bother him. He thought he was doing the right thing. In Acts 23 and verse 1, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. As long as a person thinks they're doing the right thing, their conscience doesn't condemn them. He in no way exaggerated when he said that he persecuted the church unto the death. Acts 22 and verse 4, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. We want to consider Saul, who becomes a Christian. The conversion of Saul is one of the most important in the book of Acts. His conversion is described in detail three times in Acts, chapter 9, chapter 22, and chapter 26. Indeed, no other conversion exerted so great an influence upon the world than that of Saul of Tarsus, a man who completely changed his life. He was on his way to Damascus with authority from the chief priest or high priest to bring Christians back to Jerusalem. We notice the appearance of Jesus when he was on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared to him. He saw a light from heaven occurring about noon in Acts 9 and verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And so here he is on the road going to Damascus to persecute Christians. And this bright light was shining there. The light was brighter than the sun. Acts 26, 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me, and causing them all to fall upon the ground. Acts 26, 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying, in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Accompanied by a voice speaking to him, here was Jesus talking to Saul. In Hebrew, says he fell to the earth, and I heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? A voice heard but not understood by those with him. Yes, those that were traveling with Saul, they could hear a voice, but they couldn't understand what was being said. In Acts 9 and 7 says, the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Acts 22 and 9 says, and they were with me, saw indeed the light, and they were afraid. They heard not the voice of him that spake to me. That is, they didn't understand what was being said. Jesus identifies himself to Saul. Saul asked, Acts 9 and 5, who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Who are you, Lord? At this point, Saul does not know who he's talking to, but he obviously recognizes the authority of Jesus. He replies, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. The submission of Saul. Still fallen to the earth, he was trembling and he was astonished. In Acts 9 and verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city. It shall be told thee what you must do. And so Jesus tells him to rise and go into the city and he'd be told what to do. At this point, Paul acknowledges both the authority as well as the identity of Jesus. We notice the commission of Jesus. Saul was told to go into the city of Damascus. And there he'd be told what he must do. In Acts 9 and verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will you have me to do? The Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city. It shall be told thee what thou must do. There he'd be told what things are appointed for him to do. In Acts 22 and verse 10, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? The Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee what all things which are appointed for thee to do. Saul proceeds to obey his new Lord. In Acts 9 and verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And so that bright light, he was blind at this time. And those with him led him by the hand to Damascus. In Acts 22 and verse 11, and when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. Saul was blind and led by the hands to Damascus. We notice in the city of Damascus his three-day wait. He had to wait for 3 days. 3 days he was without sight. It says that he neither ate nor drank in Acts 9 and verse 9. He was 3 days without sight, neither did eat or drink. We see here the repentance of Saul. To not eat or drink for 3 days be very difficult. He was blind. He also was praying at this time. In Acts 9 and verse 11, the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Yes, the Lord here speaking to Ananias, a Christian, telling him to go to where Saul was and tell him what he must do. Ananias visits Saul. In Acts 9, verse 17 and 18, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hast sent me, thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Immediately there fell from his eyes as had been scales. He received sight forthwith. He arose and was baptized. And so Ananias, the Christian, came to Saul. Yes, and we see that he was baptized. Immediately, he arose and was baptized. Ananias relates Saul's mission in Acts 22, verse 14 and 15. He says, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And so Saul was to be a witness of what he had seen and heard. Tell others about how the Lord appeared to him. Ananias admonished Saul to be baptized. Here a man was, he was fasting, he was praying for 3 days. But notice what Ananias told Saul to do. Acts 22:16. Now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so Saul was not saved on the road to Damascus. He was told to arise and be baptized to wash away his sins. He still was with his sins when Ananias told him to be baptized. Saul was still in his sins, fasting and praying, had not saved him. He needed to be baptized in order to wash away his sins. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when they cried out, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said in Acts 2:38, Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent, be baptized, for remission of sins, to wash away your sins. Let's consider Saul, or Paul, the persecuted preacher. Soon after Saul's conversion, he is called the Apostle Paul. He's called Paul. In Acts 13 and verse 9, Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. Yes, he immediately went and began preaching Jesus Christ. Also soon after his conversion, he began to preach. The book of Acts reports many of the persecutions that he endured. Yes, after he was baptized, he became a Christian. He began to preach Christ. At Damascus, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But he escaped being let down the wall in a basket in Acts the 9th chapter. At Antioch, up a city of the Jews, raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast, Acts 13. At Iconium, there was an assault made of the Gentiles and also the Jews, with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, but they fled and escaped. These are some of the things that Paul had to go through. At Lystra, certain Jews from Antioch, of Pisidia, Iconium, persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead, but he rose up and went back. And so they stoned Paul, and they thought he was dead. Then at Philippi, Paul and Silas were striped and beaten with many stripes and thrust into the inner prison with their feet made fast in the stocks. And while they were in prison, they were singing and praying to God. And there was an earthquake, and it released them. And the jailer said, What must I do to be saved? The jailer and his household were converted. They took them the same hour of the night and baptized them. At Jerusalem, the people took Paul and beat him. They wanted to kill him. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, he tells about his many persecutions. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. The Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And night and day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters and perils of robbers and all kinds of perils and dangers that Paul went through when he became a Christian." In conclusion, Paul's attitude toward his suffering. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 12 and 13, Paul says, "We labor, working with our hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, an offscourging of all things unto now." Yes, Paul was persecuted, beaten, and left for dead, and he had a lot of persecution. Paul remained faithful unto death. Yes, he said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness to all those that love his appearing." And so we see Saul of Tarsus, how that he persecuted the church and all the things that he did. He considered himself the chief of sinners because of what he had done. But he worked more and saved more souls probably than any other person in preaching the gospel. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, Jesus invites you to come. The plan of salvation is simple. You must have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must repent of your sins, just like Saul repented. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized to wash away your sins, as Saul was. And so if you're in need of obeying the gospel in any way, why don't you come now while we stand and sing the song?